setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. In other words, it's all about you because you were created to fill a unique role. That means two very important things. Number one, that you are very much needed. Number two, you have to do it. So if in fact you believe, as we believe, that you were created to fill a role, that means you are needed, and then there's a duty to do it. Somebody out there needs you to be you. So let's get about the process of clarity. And once we're clear on what we do best and what we love to do most, we can find the intersection in your sweet spot. You use what you do best to do what you love to do most. This is where you're operating in a state of flow, maximum effectiveness, and you're getting up on Monday mornings with some juice, not just trying to make it through to Friday afternoon. So let's do it. And once we have clarity, then we figure out, what do I need to learn and do? Who do I need to meet? What places do I need to be in? And then the plan, multiple paths forward, begin to reveal themselves. It's not so scary. So let's go. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. We go to Phoenix, Arizona, where Christina is on the line. Christina, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you today?
Christina, I am living the dream. How can I help?
Hey, so I apologize ahead of time if I'm a little scattered. I'm a little nervous.
That's fine. Don't you apologize. I do the show for you, and right now everybody else is behind you waiting. It's all about Christina.
Perfect. Okay, so in general, we just moved to a new area. But we've been having some financial issues around like our income, and we've been self-employed for a while now, actually, my husband and I both. We have two small children. And now that we're not using credit, some of our financial issues and the fact that the businesses haven't been doing as well as we thought are kind of coming to light.
Uh-huh.
So being in a new area and trying to like transition, we're trying to figure out, do we get regular jobs, go like the childcare route, regular jobs, and kind of abandon this self-employment thing for now? Or do we keep going with the self-employment and try to balance it with like part-time? Or I just got a part-time job to try to help out. But I guess we're just kind of in a place of just, again, crossroads, not really knowing what the next step would be.
Yeah. Well, the first step is, are you both clear on why both businesses aren't doing well, or is that a mystery as well?
It's a little loaded. His business is super close to his heart, so it's a real passion project, and it's kind of gone sideways in some ways. So, like,
how?
It's been, what he loves about, and this is, I mean, my opinion, you might get different answers from each of us, but like what he enjoys about his business, I don't feel like he's doing, and he looks miserable when he does it, but he says it's his dream. Even though he looks miserable and it's like his customers are running him and life is just not looking good.
What is his business? What is his business?
He builds cars. So he's super talented. He's, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s. He has all the metal fab. That's really what I think he loves to do. But he ends up doing way more on the cars than he should be, and he really wants to, even though he's talented and he knows what he's doing, but he has a hard time letting go of like certain tasks.
Okay, is this a car restoration business? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay, so you think it, the reason that his business is failing is because he's trying to do too much and he can't keep up with the demand? Is that what you're telling me?
That's part of it, and I think that he's just not like maybe focused, and again, this is me saying this, but maybe he's just not focused enough on what he's wanting to do. He's also just recently found out he's ADD and has some other things going on that I think contribute.
Okay, so what is he? Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we've got a limited amount of time, and I've got to get to the bottom of this, or why these businesses aren't working, because that affects the answer that I'm going to give as to what you should do. I have a sense, but real quick, what does he love to do? Actually, what part of the business does he love to do?
He likes to figure problems out. He likes to do the metal shaping and the metal work and challenge himself, and he likes the chassis work.
Okay, but he's doing more than just that.
Right.
Okay, well, that's why he's miserable. But I still don't know if that's why the business is failing. Is it that he just can't, if he had more help, could he do more cars? Is the demand there?
He's had more help before and he didn't utilize his employees.
Okay. All right. So we have to press pause on the husband. Let's talk about you. What's your business?
I was doing real estate. Don't like it. I'm good with that. I'm leaving that behind. I actually have been starting out with like change management consulting and some of that, which is kind of funny because I'm having issues with my own changes right now.
Is that your business right now? Is that, because you said to me, Ken, should I go to a full-time job and scrap the personal business? And we're running up against time here. Do you love the change management business? If it were successful, if I guaranteed it was successful and I flipped a switch today, would you be excited about that?
I think so. Okay, so
then my answer is I want you to stay in the part-time job for now. Let's not panic. Let's not make a overreaction. Okay? So, you know, the tendency, what we do when a car begins to hydroplane, you oversteer, you overcorrect, right? You're going one way and you go, oh my gosh, we're sliding. And I remember taking driver's ed, Joe, if you oversteer, then you throw the car into an actually worse situation than this. So I don't want you to put yourself in a worse situation. So I like that you got the part-time job. That's helping out right now. Let's give that 30 days, shall we? A minimum.
Okay.
And again, this timeline is a common sense timeline. You have to adjust. I don't know everything, so I can't tell you exactly. But I want you to wait at least a month before you make any decision beyond... I've got this part-time job and I'm going to keep the change management thing going. How long have you been trying to do the change management company consulting?
That just started in the last few months. Somebody else actually brought it to my attention. I was educated in it formally, but just for some reason didn't connect the dots.
Okay, but I mean, are you getting business right now? You have some clients?
I have some freelance. Minimally, apparently.
Right. So my advice is for you. Your husband needs to call me. That's a whole separate deal. I was curious about it. I think the answer to him is he needs to stay in that business right now until he gets to a pain point where he makes some good leadership decisions. That's what his problem is. Now, you need to try the part-time deal for at least a month, maybe 2 months. All right? At that point, you need to then self-assess and get some other objective feedback from people that are smart and find out, do I have some potential with this thing? I've only been at it for a couple months. It's too soon for you to know if that's a full-time thing. Now, if you think there's potential there and the opportunity's there, but you still need more money, flip the script. Go get a full-time job right now and keep doing the change management consultant business on the side. And then we grow it, and then we step back out of the day job into the dream job. That's what you need to be doing. Don't move. More of your calls coming up. I just got a report today that our resume template package, it is a package of 6 fantastically designed, all different resume templates that are basically inspired by my free resume guide. It includes instructions for building the resume, plus the 10 do's and don'ts of job applications. And you get 6 templates for, ready for this? $9.99. So if you want to go check them out, kencoleman.com/store. That's kencoleman.com/store. Welcome back. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken, and we're all about you, what you were created to do. It's bigger than you. It's not about you, your gifts, your passions, the things you do well, the things you love to do. Those are given to you for the purpose of giving yourself away. And that is why purpose and meaning is so valuable to us. It's why we wonder about it. It's why we lose sleep. It's why we all long for significance, because we know in our souls that we are supposed to be here for the benefit of others. And so when you can get the clarity on what you do best and what you love to do most, and you figure out all the different ways you can use what you do best, talents, strengths, and skills, to actually do work that you love engaging in and that creates a result that means so much to you. Oh, that is the sweet spot. That's where flow, true flow, a psychological feeling, a physiological response happens. And many of you've tasted it. Most of you've dreamed about it or fantasized about it or just plain old thought about it. And so we're here to help you figure it out. Let's go. Call in. We're here every day. 844-747-2577. If you get the voicemail, you can't get through and we're live, just leave a voicemail and we will work to get you in on the show. 844-747-2577. You can also email the show, ask@kencoleman.com. A little bit later in the segment, we'll get to a couple emails. If you're going to send an email, make sure that it is succinct and very detailed so that I can answer it. 844-747-2577. John's on the line in Louisville, Kentucky. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Ken, it's an honor to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, I'm honored to talk with you. What's going on?
Well, I'm at a fork in the road in my career, and let me just start out by saying I absolutely already love what I'm doing. I think I've found my sweet spot, but I'm at a fork in the road, and I just wanted to get some clarity and some advice from you.
Okay, great. So give me the two options. When you're at the fork, we can go left, we can go right. What are you facing?
Okay, well, right now I'm currently an active duty medical officer in the military, and I've been on active duty for about 13 years now, and I'm considering two career options. I'm considering either staying on active duty for about another 7 or so years, and that'll allow me to collect an active duty retirement pension, mm-hmm. Which I can collect immediately, and then I can go pursue continue the same career essentially in the civilian sector for probably about another 15 years before I decide to completely retire.
Mm-hmm.
Option number two, very similar, but instead of staying active duty, would transfer to the part-time reserves, and then I would be able to collect a retirement pension with them, but not until age 60, but it would allow me to pursue a higher civilian salary immediately. And the difference in pay is I'm looking at between active duty transferring through the reserves, maybe close to $100,000 more in the civilian sector. The good thing about staying on active duty is I get to collect that retirement pension sooner. You have the safety net with that, along with the great health care benefits.
How much is that? I want to know what that is roughly, a month or per year.
The retirement pension for me would probably be about, I'd say, $45,000 to $50,000 per year that I could start to collect. I'm 36 now, so I would be in my mid-40s when I could start to collect that.
Yeah, because 43, you got to do 7 more years in order to then begin collecting the $45,000 a year.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, and you're telling me if you take option two, that would be soon. So you've got now you're going to be making $100,000 more per year?
Based on my research of what I do and the market that we're looking at, approximately. And that would include my income with the reserves as well, because there's some income that comes with that along with my civilian employment. A couple other considerations in with this, Ken, is that, you know, when you remain on active duty, there, I have a family, I have a wife and 3 kids, and there's the potential for moving around with the military a couple more times, as well as some more deployments, going to the reserves and then just doing this part-time in the civilian sector would kind of alleviate some of that stress on the family as well. So,
well, I got to tell you, I have a
pros and cons.
There are pros and cons. I think you fought them out, and I have a very clear answer. I will do the WWKD. What would Ken do? I'll tell you that in a second. But I don't ever want to influence my callers in an unnecessary way. I want you to come to the conclusion. That's always my goal at about the same time I do, or lead you there. So if I made you choose right now, live on the air, What would you choose right now? Don't pause. Go. Tell me.
I would stay and finish it out despite any of the extra hardships. I already enjoy what I'm doing, and I think the safety net is there with the pension.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what you would do right now. And that, so when you called me, that's where you're leaning. You just wanted to know my take.
I wanted to know your take, but it's partially a financial decision, but it's also a decision of the heart too, because my decision impacts the entire family. You know, the military lifestyle, it's not for everyone, and it definitely puts strain on the family for, you know, at least 7 more years. And
right. Okay. All right. You made your choice. But, and so what's curious to me is I think you gave me the head answer, not the heart answer. Am I right?
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm so excited about this because now I haven't influenced your answer at all. So I go with option two primarily because it's the heart answer. That's your heart answer. But it actually is my heart and head answer. I'll tell you why. You've run the numbers and you say, well, Ken, if I stay in 7 more years in the military, in 7 years, I'm going to be able to pull $45,000 to $50,000 per year in retirement benefits. But at the same time, if you follow your heart and don't put the strain on your wife and kids, and there's no more moving all around the country, and you're making possibly $100,000 more, that includes the part-time reserve pay, I backed it down. What if you just made $50,000 more per year?
Mm-hmm.
It's still the better play because you're making more money and you can invest that. But you're looking at the retirement income as, well, this is the smarter head decision. I don't think it is. I think making more income, even if it's half of what you assume, you're making more income that you can invest. And now you don't have all of that yucky heart stuff that comes with it. So I would go number two if it's me. I would get out, stay in it part-time in reserves, get all those benefits. You're making more money in a civilian role, which means you can invest more money, and you're not going backwards at all. At all.
Some of the wise words that keep coming to mind as I think about this decision is Dave Ramsey when he talks about, you know, the biggest wealth-building tool is your income.
Yeah, and you're juicing it by getting out of the military.
Exactly. So
I'm head and heart over there in option two. I think you've talked yourself out of it because you think it's smarter to pull that military retirement. And might I step on your toes, John, because you know I care about you?
Absolutely.
I think part of this is you're afraid of what other people will say, because to most people in your life, they're going to go, why in the world wouldn't you stick it out for 7 more years and get that awesome military retirement? And they're not thinking, well, I can make $50,000 to $100,000 more per year, and I'm investing that. So why would you take the so-called safe, sure thing when you've got the opportunity to have all that money that you could invest plus more? So I think you're worried a little bit about what others would say, and that's normal. That's not me criticizing you. That's just me pushing you and making you a little uncomfortable, because that's the problem. You deciding to stay in the military for 7 more years and collect a higher retirement is all about comfort, as opposed to, hey, I'm going to do what's best for my family, what's best for me financially, and I'll be smart and disciplined, and I'll invest that. Oh, folks, always follow the head and the heart together. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Are you stuck? Like 70% of Americans, 80% of workers worldwide. On Sunday night, you start getting a sick feeling in your stomach because you know the misery's on its way Monday morning. You're going, oh my gosh, I just got to make it through to Friday. Get me to happy hour, man, and I can medicate until Sunday night. Now, we laugh. We got people in the lobby today watching. They're laughing about that, but that's the reality for a lot of people, and it's pathetic. So how about we trade pathetic for purpose? How about we get clear on what it is we do best and what it is we love to do most, and find how we can use those things we do best, talents, skills, and strengths, to do work that makes our heart come alive. We look forward to it. When we're in the middle of it, we've got so much juice, time just disappears. And when we're done, we have a deep satisfaction in our soul because we did something that we know matters deeply to us and created something, a result that matters to others. Whew. This isn't fantasy. This isn't some lucky lottery that a few fortunate souls on the planet just fall into. This is waiting for you. The sweet spot is already there. It's inside of you. These answers are inside of you. It's my job to get them out of you. So let's do it. We're going to get back to the phones in just a second. But Joe, let's open up the electronic mailbag, shall we?
Ken's electronic mail.
You've got mail.
All right. The email address to the show is ask@kencoleman.com. Jared starts us off. He says, when working on the resume that you recommend on your website, should I list any relevant internships? If so, do I put it on the experience section or the what I've learned section? And that'd be actually what I've done section and what I've learned section. And Jared, I'd put it on the what I've done. And this is key. If you're somebody that's done some internships that are more relevant than past experience, I would drop the past experience that's not relevant. And I'd put the internships on that are relevant. Why? Because when somebody's looking at hiring you, they're thinking about one question and one question only. Can Jared help me win? You ever thought about that? So many of you people put ridiculous amounts of information on your resume. And we know from HR studies that hiring managers spend somewhere between 6 to 60 seconds scanning your resume. Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? And I'll bet most of them are closer to 6 seconds. 1 1,000, 2 1,000, 3 1,000, 4 1,000, 5 1,000, 6 1,000. That's it. That's all you got. So the Ken Coleman resume guide at kencoleman.com is designed for you to put relevant information in there, because as they're scanning, their brain is looking for information that says, Jared might help me win. That's all they're thinking about. So if your information on your resume doesn't answer the question, how can they help me win? Delete it. It's not relevant. So next question. Derek says, I'm new to your show. I bought the book, The Proximity Principle. Thank you, Derek. My children, thank you. They all need shoes. We appreciate you buying the book. And it's a great plan if you know what you want to do. And he's right. But I need to discover what it is I want to do. So he's in that discovery clarity stage. He's trying to figure it out. He says, give me the steps. So here we go. This is fun. I'm going to give you the super quick version. This works for everybody. Here we go. Get out a piece of paper. I prefer a pencil because you can erase it and it's easier to edit. Draw a line down the middle of the paper. On the left side, write what I do best and underline it. On the right side, write what I love to do most. And I want you to just free think about what people compliment you on. What has always come easy to you? What do you know you do better than all the things you do? I just do these things better. And just begin to let your mind answer those three simple questions and write down the top three or four or five things you do better than anything else. Then go to the right side of the page and under what I love to do most, I want you to write down, even if you've never done these things, you've wondered about them. You've wondered about these tasks, these functions. What would it be like to do this all day, every day and get paid? All right. That's for those of you who don't have a lot of experience. So this can even work for high schoolers. College students who don't have a lot of work experience. So that's one option. Second option, write down what you have done in the past that makes your heart come alive. You just look forward to it. When you're in the middle of it, you just love it. We just talked about this moments ago. So write that down. What do I love to do? What do I look forward to doing? What do I think about all the time? What do I read? What stories draw me in? I'm giving you several questions. And then the three fundamental questions for determining passion. Who is it that you most want to help? Describe them. What problem do you most want to solve? Describe it in detail. What solution do you most want to provide? Describe it in detail. Now, once you have that information down on the paper, find two or three people in your life who know you well, who love you, they care about you, is what we're saying here. And third, they're truth tellers. They'll tell you if anything on that paper is delusional. Because we don't want to be like these idiots that go on American Idol that can't sing. And they're awful. We all laugh at them. Well, why are they there? Because their mom and dad told them their whole life they could sing and they can't sing. So if your mom lies to you to make you feel good, don't take this list to mom. We want to find truth tellers who love you enough to say, this is right, this is right, this is right. Nah, I don't think that's one of your top shows. Oh, really? So why are we doing this? Accountability and credibility. Oh, okay, yes, I'm not delusional. I do know what I do best, and I do know what I love to do most. And now that we have clarity and confidence in the clarity, now we begin to look at how we can use what we do best, the left side of the paper, to do the things over on the right side. There's multiple jobs, multiple career paths. And that's how the sweet spot gets figured out. Oh, I could do this. I could do this. And I began to look and explore into all the different ways that I can use what I do best to do what I love to do most. This is such a clarifying process. And it works every time. Let's go to Patricia, who's on the line in Dallas, Texas. Patricia, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Oh, hello, Mr. Coleman. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure. How can I help?
Well, I'm 59 years old. I'm retired from the military. I have 15 years in federal service, and I don't love what I do. So I'm at that crossroad. I can stay in for 5 more years in federal service to get that higher pension, or I could leave now. But I have never been really in private sector, and so that kind of scares me to go that way. Mm-hmm. I just need some clarity on how to get to that sweet spot.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you this. Thank you for your service. You're a great American, and we appreciate you. Number two, your fear is very normal. I can't tell you how many military men and women I talk to who feel like, even though they've been successful in the military and done a wonderful job, they feel like they can't step into the private sector because they don't feel like what you did in the military is relevant. And so I think that that is a fear that is natural, but can I just tell you that it's silly? Patricia, tell me what people would say about you if I went and interviewed everybody that's worked with you, your commanding officers, people maybe that you've led. What would they say about you? Give me a little 20-second narrative. What would they say about you?
I'm good at implementing programs, managing programs. I can facilitate well. I'm good at process improvement.
Now, let me ask you a question, Patricia. Do you think that little sentence right there is desired and needed in the private sector? The ability to implement things, the ability to get things done, processes, efficiencies. Do you think that might be needed in the private sector, yes or no?
Yes.
That's how you do it. It's that simple. Wait a second. You mean, Ken, I just got to start talking to everybody I know and ask them if they know of positions that are similar to what you've been doing in the military? Yes, Patricia, that's what you do because you've been good at it and you enjoy it. Now, here's the deal. If you'd like to tweak that going into the future, then what we do is we say, all right, I know what I'm good at. But what do I really want to do? And once we identify that, then we go, okay, how would I use what I do best to do this over here? Patricia, go confidently. The world needs you. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, America. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get the clarity you need to confidently step out on the path to fulfilling your purpose. Because clarity breeds confidence, and confidence breeds courage. Because I'm going to tell you something. The reason most people don't step out on the path to becoming who they were created to be is because it's downright scary. It is full of uncertainty. And human beings, we just don't like change. We don't like the unknown. The unknown is the scariest thing that we as humans face. We know this from neuroscience. Now, if I tell you, all right, we're going to go do some extreme sport, right? And you got this risk, and this could happen, and this could happen. You go, all right. Okay, all right, okay, all right. Yeah, I think I'll do it. But if I say we're going to go into a cave today, and we're going to explore a cave without any lights, we can't see the hand in front of our face, we're just going to have to inch forward a little bit at a time, having no idea what's in the cave, 10 out of 10 people are going to go, Coleman, you have lost your mind. Why? Nobody's going to sign up for that. All right, so while I understand that the path can be uncertain, what we can be certain of is the mountaintop. I know this is my Mount Everest. I know this is my dream job. I know why it's my dream job, and I know that there are multiple paths up that mountain. I don't know the timing of what that looks like to get there. I don't know the timing. None of us can know that. None of us can know the weather patterns, the detours, all the things that life throws at us. But again, when things happen that we didn't expect, we retreat to clarity. Okay, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know the mountaintop. That's it. And that clarity then gives us that injection of confidence. And then that confidence gives us the courage to stay on mission. So that's why we talk about clarity, 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 clarity. Why? You got to be clear. If you're unclear, you're stuck, and you will stay in a state of stuck. So let's get some people clear. They're on the lines. The lines are full, 844-747-2577. It's a free call. It's one of the most important calls you'll ever make. Let's go to Kim, who's on the line in Bloomington, Illinois. Kim, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, how can I help?
I am in a position where I'm ready to kind of move on, change careers. I work at a great company. I love my coworkers. I just don't love my job.
Uh-huh.
So I've worked through your process. I've had my friends and coworkers help me, and we've made a list of what I do best, and I've made a list of what I love to do. And I have decided that what I would like to do is become a coach and a trainer in like a business setting.
Okay.
So helping individuals gain clarity and, you know, find the job that they love, but also to help organizations improve communication, build positive cultures, that type of work.
Okay.
So my question is, I haven't found someone to speak to directly, but I've been doing a lot of online research, and I see that it appears that a master's degree in psychology is kind of the standard in that industry, which of course I don't have and I don't want to have. So I can get certifications online. So I don't know if that's really the route to go. And if I do go with that route and get the certifications, then how do I gain credibility when I'm walking into a field where I'm undereducated?
Yeah. Well, let's assume that you are not undereducated until we find out otherwise. So you've got some more. I know you're in the process of getting in front of some people that do what you do. This is where my book, The Proximity Principle, comes in. In order to do what Kim wants to do, folks, she's got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. So you've got to get more information, because we live in a world that has for 50 years basically said you got to have a college degree to be qualified, which is a bunch of horse, you know what? Because here's the deal. The economy's changing. Things are changing. We got Fortune 100 companies that are basically saying, you don't need a college degree anymore. We'll train you for what we do. And so we also know that it's kind of just a cultural thing. Well, you got to have the psychology degree. And so you already did enough research to know that there are some certifications and things that technically make you qualified. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So I want you to talk to some people in the industry and go, in all seriousness, this is what I'm hearing. Is that really true? I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm not trying to short circuit the system. I just want to know, is it possible for me to get in and do this with just the certifications and the connections?
Okay.
Because here's the deal. Connections are everything. If you've got the chops, that means the talent, and you've got a baseline of certification and knowledge, do we really need a psychology degree to be a corporate trainer? I got to tell you why I think that you need to push into that. I'm thinking of two or three of my buddies right now who work for a A-list business speaker and best-selling author. He's one of my friends. And neither of them have a psychology degree. And they're getting paid big bucks to do corporate training. How is that possible? Because they work for a guy who doesn't have a psychology degree, but is the gold standard in, you know, corporate consulting. So I'm a little suspect of what you are telling me is the only way to get in. So I want you to at least challenge that. If you come back and you say, well, Ken, the particular corporate coaching and training that I do, it is highly recommended. It's not absolutely required. How do I overcome that? Connections. Connections will always overcome baseline credentials. That's actually really good. I'm going to say that again for you and the rest of the audience. Connections will always overcome baseline credentials. Because baseline credentials is what everybody just throws out there as a weeding out process. It's like a filtering process. I've said this on the show before, but Joe, here's where that came into play. Years ago, college became a rite of passage. Coming out of World War II, the 50s and 60s is where college and higher education became the gold standard for success. And so as that happened, corporate America catches on and they go, all right, our society believes that if you don't go to college, you're a loser. That's what's basically been the case. We look down our nose at kids and adults who didn't go to college. It was like walking around with shame, and that's a bunch of garbage. So companies go, all right, we're going to try to sift out the losers, and we're going to put college education as a requirement. And now that's become totally irrelevant. I'm thinking of the jobs right now where you actually learn anything relevant in college. There's not very many that I can think of. What you get in the classroom, is it really helping you? There's not a lot. So I know I'm making a bunch of you uncomfortable, but go do your homework on this and then try to prove me wrong. So there you go. Find out, work the connections, get in. Hey, my time's almost up, but before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey, guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruze Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruze wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruze.com.